Hello and welcome everyone, friends, family. If you are new and exploring Beloved City Church family for the first time, or maybe you're new to exploring faith and spirituality, welcome. We are so glad that you're here with us today online, on the podcast, wherever you're listening and watching from. At Beloved City Church, friends, we are passionate about growing a thriving and life-giving church where you and your family can flourish spiritually and relationally, where you can belong before you believe, where you can both meaningfully receive and valuably contribute. As a member of this spiritual family, while you continue, like us, on your journey of finding hope and healing, as you journey to know God and find freedom and discover purpose and make a difference, that's the mission that we're on here, is to lead people in those areas to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Not only are we a church that exists for a distinct mission, at Beloved, we also choose to be people who are led by Jesus and shaped by grace and moved by love. And this is shaped by a distinct set of cultural targets here in our household of faith that we choose to practice, to grow, and to live out loud beyond the 1 hour on Sunday. Targets which prescribe and describe the culture that we are growing here at Beloved City Church. So when you think culture, think attitude. When you think values, think behavior. This is fundamental to our discipleship, friends, to our growth and development as Jesus followers. We choose to love God and to love people and to pursue excellence and to choose joy. We love God first because of why His great love shown toward us first. We get to respond in return in love as an upward response of gratitude and just thankfulness, right? We worship and we serve and we give and we love in response to His love for us. And secondly, we choose to love people, to love one another. God's love is reshaping my values and my ethics and my behaviors, and it overflows out of me onto others. It's a little bit about me and a whole lot about the one another's. It's we over me, we say around here. Thirdly, we pursue excellence. This is a cultural target that we have, that we live by. God is a God of excellence. Creation and everything around us reveals God's extravagant heart of excellence, right? We honor God by doing our best in everything that we put our hands to. This is an act of worship, friends, to our Creator. And the fourth target value that we have is, last but not least value, is this. We are choosing to pursue joy in our lives. In every day that we live, joy is the X factor in everything we do. Think attitude, friends. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit, or Christ, of Christ in us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's where we find true contentment, and it shapes our attitude and our spirit. People want to be around people who are walking in the joy of the Lord, friends. Trust me, it's the way it works. Our hope for you today, friends, is that you would also choose alongside us to submit your cravings and desires, your passions and motivations and rhythms to Jesus as your forgiver and leader. Let Him reshape your life. It's beautiful. Letting Him reshape your values and ethics. Now, if you open your Bibles, your smartphones, take out your notebooks. I truly believe that God wants to teach us today. I believe that we've got something to learn. Holy Spirit, soften our hearts to receive the seeding of your word today. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear, Lord. Soften our hearts, I pray, God. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to our church and this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been exploring through Matthew's gospel account of the Sermon on the Mount over the past few weeks, or Jesus' declaration of what my kingdom is really about, right? It's beautiful, where Jesus has been describing what it looks like to be beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now on this earth. Today, we're going to continue exploring in chapter 6. And here is what we'll begin to see. We're going to see that life in the kingdom of heaven isn't about doing a bunch of good things just for the sake of doing good things. It's actually about becoming beautiful people who are good news. That's what we're going to learn about today. When I was a young adult, I was enthralled by a good crime show, and I would watch CSI and Law and Order and the Cops reality TV show or Border Patrol. I really enjoyed a good crime solve, the mystery, the suspense. Back in the day, I couldn't binge watch these shows, unfortunately, like we can today. But hey, every Thursday night at 7 p.m., I knew exactly where I was going to be. Come on, I know I'm not the only one listening in this room right now. Hours and hours of binge watching training, right? We'll call it. To be a crime scene investigator or FBI agent. I thought I knew so much about crime and scene investigation. Like, seriously, it only takes 10,000 hours to become to get a graduate degree or get a pilot's license. So some of us can earn that Netflix degree every 5 years, I think. 10,000 hours is crazy, right? I remember when I was at my peak of crime scene watching training, I would just end up living my life like a Criminal Minds expert, right? You know, like when you're sitting and engaged in the best sport of all, this is my favorite sport, people watching, and you've been profiling every person that walks by. Oh man, he looks like so sus. That's for you Zoomer friends out there. Or when you're walking through your neighborhood later in the evening and danger is lurking at every corner, you got your dog spray and you got your keys between your fingers, you know, danger is lurking, right? And sus, everything's sus. Or when you're driving down a dark, narrow back road with no street lights and you've got one headlight out and you know it's the worst place to get a flat tire because you already know that this is definitely the spot that you're going to get mugged or kidnapped if you have a breakdown. But when you think back to the crime shows, or think Sherlock Holmes or whomever is your favorite detective, is as soon as they walk onto the crime scene, they immediately start trying to identify suspects, right? And one of the questions that come up every time that the detective will try to answer is, what is the motive? Now, motivation is a strong desire that propels us to action. It denotes or fuels a person's needs and desires and wants or urges. And I pray that you are not currently in a situation where you are motivated to participate in any sort of crime, I pray. And if you are, like, just stick around and, you know, hit the chat button and ask for prayer. We'd love to pray for you if that's the case, right? Motivation matters, though, friends, right? Say it with me. Motivation matters. Motive matters. Mm-hmm. So from the book of Matthew, continuing Jesus' message on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 1 to 18, we're going to read the words of Jesus. And my prayer for you today is that God's word, through the Holy Spirit, will speak to you and help reshape our lives and our thinking, our way of acting, our behaviors, our ethics, our disordered loves, right? So first one, Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Starting out with a warning right off the top, right? If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites. Everybody say hypocrites. Say it with me, hypocrites. Do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like, now there comes that word again, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This then is how you should pray. Okay, Jesus is about to throw something down on us. Ready? He says in verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Let's pray. Let's pay attention to this, friends. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Forgiveness again, right? When they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And when you fast, do not look somber as everybody say, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others their fasting. He says, truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. So he tells you how to pray a little bit. And then he gets into forgiveness. Then he gets into fasting. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But if you do not forgive others, he says again, forgiveness is a big deal here. Their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen again. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, he says again. Now, does this principle of Jesus contradict his previous command to let your light shine before men in Matthew 5:16, which we learned about a couple weeks ago? No, actually, not at all. Although his followers are to be seen doing good works, they must not do good works simply to be seen, is what Jesus is saying. And that's what we're going to unpack today. Our motivations actually matter. Doing good to please God is good, but often humans do good for the wrong motive, right? How many of you can relate to doing something that appeared to be well-meaning or good and you know, you did it for the wrong motive? Anyone? No, just me. I know most of us probably have. The idea here is when we do righteous good deeds, for the attention and applause of men, their attention and applause is our reward. Yet, how much better is it to receive a reward from your Father in heaven? This is the words of Jesus. And I hope whenever you read God's word that you don't just say, okay, that was really good or deep, spiritual, right? I read that, checked that off now. I did my good deed for the day. I read a little scripture. Now God just reward me for all my good deeds, right? Goodness day. No, I hope you're paying attention, friends. Take it serious. Stop. Reflect. Apply it. Pray over it. There's application, right? Soap it. Jesus is giving us some really incredible wisdom, not just on what we do, but something much deeper than that. It's our motivations. What's fueling the actions that we're living out? See, beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven are good news, right? What is your motivation, friends? Context is everything when it comes to scriptures, the Bible, right? So let's look at some of these repetitious words that we discovered a moment ago, and let's dive in to see what we can really glean from the power of Jesus' statements. My hope for us today is that we will begin to understand Jesus' teachings and learn to apply these things, these truths to our lives and our culture today. In this portion of scripture, Jesus' main point is this. Life as beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven isn't about doing a bunch of good things, but it's about you and I becoming people who are good news in every circle of influence that we've been planted in your family, your church, where you work, where you study, where you play. We are good news in every circle of influence that we've been planted in, meaning we are where we are rooted, where we are watered and nourished and growing and producing good fruit because of the Holy Spirit in us, demonstrating the very good news of Jesus and his beautiful kingdom. Friends, don't miss this. It's not about you and I just doing good, churchy, right, spiritual things. This is a good to do, but it's about really about us being transformed into the kind of person that impacts our families, impacts our church and the world around us, especially in how we live and we give, serve and love. As we are led by Jesus and shaped by his grace and moved by his love. Now, in the scriptures we read, we repeated a word multiple times, and that word was hypocrites. So we know even today that a hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another, right? Like Cambridge puts it, someone who says they have a particular moral belief, but behaves in a way that shows these are not sincere. The word hypocrite used in Matthew 6 comes from the Greek word Hippocrates. Hippocrates. And that word in Greek refers to a stage player or an actor, like a performing acting under a mask, right? A hypocrite, like in a Greek tragedy. As we just look through the Bible briefly in Matthew 6, and as we reflect on what Jesus was trying to get across to us, Jesus is saying, beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, do not be like an actor who puts on a mask, a pretender who does one thing but lives another. Who says one thing and is another. When you say you are going to show up, friends. When you take a stand against human trafficking publicly, don't partake in pornography in secrecy. Don't be railing against the government on Facebook and then cheating on your taxes in privacy. Or don't be entertained by murderous and scandalous and dehumanizing content and then attempt to teach someone about the love of Jesus. Right, friends? It's incongruent, right? It's masked. It's a farce. It's hypocritical. We don't engage in the practice of faking it till you make it. It's insincere, friends. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our lives, our ethics, our values, and the way we behave and act. We are people that are good news, beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. Oh man, beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven are not up on a stage as entertainers for the world, nor for one another. We are not actors, not masked and pretending to be, but we choose to be real, genuine and honest and actually being transformed into the kind of person that reflects the very heartbeat of Jesus and impacts the world around us. Oh yes, of course, honesty always will have a positive impact in your circle of influence. This is the kingdom of heaven advancing in the world today, friends. You and I choosing to develop our character over comfort. See, so often we choose comfort instead of character development. Intentionally growing strong and healthy character. And friends, here are the three keys to developing your strong character. To discipline and develop yourself in these three areas is humility, honesty, and generosity. This is beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven. Wow, disciplined in developing in these 3 years. Developing your character is actually one of our core target values as a community. Actually, I think it's beyond that. It's actually what God calls us to do. It's a part of our discipleship that our loves are reordered, our ethics and our values are transformed. And this is part of our upward response and our love and affection toward God. We love God. And the three qualities that you and I develop as we grow in love with God are we develop our closeness with Him. We develop our character and we develop our calling. These are three qualities that we encourage you at Beloved to grow in as you're growing in your love for God. This is the practical application, friends, of you and I living out our love for our Father in creation, our Lord and our Savior. And yes, I know our culture also disciples us in being our authentic self, right? Be you, be real, be genuine. And maybe you are being your authentic self by yelling at your spouse or abusing your children or offering the middle finger salute in traffic or choosing me over the we or choosing status over service or choosing popularity, position and possessions over God's purposes or choosing wealth over worship or lying when you say you will and you don't and then offer some blow-off excuse. Friends, this is not the way of Jesus. Jesus is transforming our character. It's beautiful. And you know what, friends? If that's you in any way, I'm not trying to embarrass you or condemn you. I have learned because of what the Word of God says and in knowing what I am experiencing and many others who are listening online today, you don't have to stay there, friends. You don't have to be authentically in step with the flesh, with your humanity. You can actually keep in step with the Spirit. When you're a follower of Jesus and the Spirit of God is in you, you can walk in step. The Apostle Paul admonishes us in Galatians 5 and 25, if we live by the Spirit, then let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And so as we examine Matthew 6, Jesus is calling out the people doing good things for the wrong reasons. Jesus is calling out religious people who say one thing and then do another. Then he took three really, really powerful spiritual practices. And he took prayer and giving and fasting, which are all three things that you and I should definitely be engaged in doing if we're followers of Jesus. But here's what Jesus said, right? He said, don't do them for the sake of doing them. Don't do it for a religious ritual like the pagans do, but do it to be partnered with God. It's about your relationship, friends, with Him. So if we look at the first time the word hypocrite is used in Matthew 6, 2, it says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets and as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, like broadcasting or blatantly saying, hey, look at me. Like this is talking about religious people, right? In the synagogues, people who were followers of the Judaic law. And even in our subtle implications of the two, friends, like virtue signaling on our social profiles, it's like broadcasting it, right, in a different way. It was customary in Jesus' day to draw attention to their giving. So the person would be known as generous. Today, most people do not sound an actual trumpet to project their image of generosity, but they still know how to call attention to their giving. But Jesus says, don't do that, friends. Don't call attention to your giving. And Jesus is saying, surely they will have their reward. You will have your reward if that's what you do. So savor the applause, because that's all the rewards you're going to get. You are paid in full. Motivation matters, friends. And when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Instead, our giving is to be, if it were possible, even hidden from ourselves. Although I would say it would be really challenging. We cannot really be ignorant about our own giving, but we can deny ourselves any indulgent self-congratulation, right? Pat myself on the back, I'm so good. Motivation matters, friends. Let your charity, your giving be done in secret. Does this mean that if someone finds out that we have given something, that we have automatically lost our reward though? No, the actual issue Jesus is addressing is a matter and issues of the heart. It really is a matter of the heart, friends, a matter of our motive. What's fueling our giving? What's fueling what we're doing? If we give and serve for our own glory, it doesn't matter if no one finds out and we still have no reward from God if we're doing it for our own glory. But if we give and serve for God's glory, it doesn't matter who finds out because your reward will remain. Because what? It's the motive. Am I doing it for myself or am I doing this for God's glory? Motivation matters. So what's your motive then? And then Jesus continues. Verse 5, when you look at prayer, same thing, hypocrites, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen. Instead, he says, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to the Father in secret. The word room in this context is referring to the storeroom that was used to keep their treasures. Jesus is certainly not prohibiting public prayer in any way, but our prayers are definitely not about impressing one another, that's for sure. Our prayers should always be to God and not towards one another, towards man, right? We are laying up treasure, literally, in heaven, and it begins in your storeroom. It begins in your prayer room. When you look at fasting, same thing. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do. I look so hungry. I don't know how you do that. But they disfigure their faces to show that they are fasting. Disfigure their faces. I don't know. Like, what does that even mean? Well, when you look at the same context of hypocrite being an actor in the Greek tragedy plays back then, they made sure to wear a mask, right? And it's even like the symbol for drama clubs that you see today and in the schools today, a happy face and a sad face, because they want the mask to accurately convey the emotion to the audience. So anyone could know what was going on, even if they couldn't hear it. That's what hypocrites do. They take something that's supposed to be good, something that's supposed to be powerful, and we twist it and pervert it. Instead of using it for good purposes, it becomes about performance. It comes about before. It becomes a show, an act. Look at me. I can pray. I can fast. I'm such a generous person. Look how spiritual I am. And from the place of these heart issues, when we don't get the recognition we want or desire, we often check out or quit, leave the drama club, right? I didn't get the part or the position I wanted, or I didn't get the popularity or wealth that I felt like I deserved. Friends, if you can't serve in the lowliest of places in the kingdom of heaven and in the simplest of roles, better than that or more gifted than that, maybe that's how you feel. Man, I'm better than serving in that role, or I'm more gifted than that. I shouldn't have to do that. Your integrity won't be able to uphold you in the public place or on the platforms of influence that God wants to use you in. Pride is always present before a fall, friends. Integrity always trumps your gifting. It is service over status. It is we over me. It is purpose over position, popularity, and possession. It is worship over wealth. See, Jesus is calling out church people. And that's what I'm doing today too, is encouraging in this message, calling out his followers. And he says, I don't want you to check off the list. I don't want you to just show up just because it makes you look better. It's not about leading a ministry if you can't serve on setup, friends. I don't want to show you, I don't want you to show us your streak on YouVersion when some days you didn't even read it. You just open it up to flip through it to make sure your streak continued, right? He's not concerned about our streaks or our shows. He's not even concerned about you showing up because it looks good or serving and giving because it makes you look better. Friends, Jesus is truly concerned about your motive. He's truly concerned about our hearts. Our motivation does matter. Doing good to please God, but often for the wrong motive. What's your motive, friends? Our motive is something to explore, to grow aware of, and to be self-reflective of. And ask Jesus, expose it in my heart, Jesus, show me in every area of my life. In this passage, Jesus is talking about beautiful people who value the same kingdom values of giving and prayer and fasting, yet how our motives affecting our daily rhythms of living, giving, serving, and loving in the way that we communicate with one another, or the reason behind leaving out those specific details in our heightened desire for affirmation, or our willingness to take credit for something we didn't do, or in our sexual passions, and to what extent we want to go to fulfill that appetite for pleasure. If our purposes is anything in anything we do, or if what is moving us to action is to make ourselves look better or to solely fulfill our needs, and our motive does not come from a place of overflow of goodness, of peace, of joy, and mercy from my heart in actually seeing the humanity in others and loving the humanity like Christ demonstrated, then our motivations are disordered, friends. We can be intentional to do the right things for the right reasons. And we can do the right things for the right reasons. And when no one else is looking, this is integrity, friends. And this does change you in a deeply profound, powerful, and meaningful way. Will you let it? Examine your heart today. God, help us to examine our heart. Our Father, friends, is watching, seeing. Our Heavenly Father sees what is done in secret. I'm not saying don't do good things for others or for yourself, but here's what I am saying today. I'm saying do pray, do fast, do give generously. As beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven, we'll see generosity and prayer and fasting as so vitally important and so valuable. As long as your motivation isn't, look at me. That's not what God's after, friends. He's not after us doing empty actions. He's after our hearts being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And this is such great news. And this good news transforms our lives so that our actions help us become the kind of people we need to be. We are people who are our good news. And what do we do when we are good news? We share his good news. We are good news to the earth. As God truly changes, our only response is to point back to him, point people to that same power of God's goodness, not to us. It's his love. It's his grace. We are point leaders, pointing to Jesus. Come follow me as I'm following Jesus, right? You see, in the middle of that passage we read earlier, we read a prayer, often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, and it's not just a prayer. I'm sure many of you have heard it before, and some of you have probably even memorized it and know it by heart, but it's not just this weird ritual thing, right, that you should just know and check it off your list, but you and I need to let it transform our hearts, friends, and our minds, and to let it come from our spirit, because that prayer is the kind of kingdom prayer that shapes us into the beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now, who are led by Jesus, shaped by grace, and moved by his love. So here's what we're going to do in the next few moments. I'm going to read it one more time. I'm going to kind of break it down piece by piece. And then after I break it down, we're not just going to read it together, but we're going to pray it together. And it's going to be a powerful prayer that God will use to transform you and me. It says here, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, when we address our Father in heaven and recognize hallowed, how holy and how great and how powerful he truly is, and we begin to understand that his message isn't just one day those of us who are followers of him will simply join him in this heavenly place, but the message and mission of Jesus is to bring his kingdom to this earth, to be good news agents in this earth, to impact people around us that are hurting and that are searching for love and that are in denial, that are missing the power of his grace, his truth, and his love. That's what you and I are praying in that portion of this prayer. And then it continues, "Give us today our daily bread." That's God continue to give us our daily sustenance. "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." It's saying, forgive our debtors as we have also forgiven those who have debt against us. You see, this isn't just a prayer where you expect God to answer your checklist of things and wishes. That's not what prayer is for, friends. You see, the prayer we should be praying is a prayer that actively makes us participants in God's will in this earth. Not only do we know that God's going to forgive us, but he's called you and I to be the kind of people that forgive others and forgive people, even when others don't deserve it, friends, because that's the power of God's grace. That is good news. It's beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now. And lead us in, he goes on, "and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This is a powerful kingdom prayer that when prayed with intentionality shapes us into the beautiful people who gets to bring his good news to the world today. So together, let's read that prayer one more time slowly, and not just in saying the words out loud, but letting it transform your heart. Let's join in and pray this together. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we have also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, in Jesus' name." Thanks. You know, friends, when we talk about motivation, it's actually pretty easy to understand when we see God's motivation has always been a deep love for humanity. And some of you in this room, you haven't stepped into recognizing the power of God's love. If you are here and in this moment, you know that you want something more, and that something more is an authentic relationship with God, with the God of the universe, is a God who loves you so much that he's willing to move heaven and earth and gave us Jesus, who came from heaven to reveal to us the very heart of God and to show us how to live. He lived a sinless life, a perfect life, and then laid down his life to be a sacrifice for you and me, to make it possible for his grace to be available on a day-to-day basis, to make it possible to have known that you and I have messed up, and those mess ups are called sin. But we're not bound by sin, because Jesus, when he laid down his life, he didn't stay dead. He conquered death, hell, and the grave so that we could be connected with God, freed from sin and freed from guilt, freed from shame, walking in the freedom he designed us to walk. And then some of you are here and listening and ready to make a decision right now to walk into that relationship, to walk into that freedom of living in God's grace daily. You can feel it calling you. You want so much more. You want your life to look different. You stop living for your own selfish desires and to be partnered with God, this good news. And as a beautiful person of the kingdom of heaven that impacts your circle of influence for eternity, friends, my prayer and hope for you is that you want so much more than credit for being that spiritual person. I hope and pray that your motivation will be in the right spot, the right places, that you do these powerful spiritual things, not to look good, not to be better or to look better than someone else, but so that God can transform you to impact those around you. And if you're a follower of Jesus, friends, and if you're listening today, and if you're not impacting those around you, then maybe all your actions are for a show, because God has called us to be on a mission with him that does make an impact. So the challenge for this week for you and I and in your city groups is to pray this prayer every single day Screenshot it, highlight it, pray it. Let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit transform you. Will you pray with me? If you'd close your eyes just for a moment, Jesus, thank you that you came announcing a kingdom that is good news, a place where all are welcomed and where all are accepted and where we are seen and loved by you. Thank you so much, Lord, that we get this opportunity, that we get to be part of a community of believers that are committed to seeking after you, to growing in love with you, with every part of who we are. Thank you, Jesus, for leading us and nudging us in our growth and development today and becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus who are willing to examine our hearts. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for your goodness, God. Jesus, I pray over everyone in this room and watching here today online, and for those who will be listening later on. God, be with us. Be with every person, every mother and father, every son and daughter, husband and wife, every student, every leader, every pastor. Help us to pray this example you gave us how to pray daily. Not because it's our new spiritual ritual, but what we're going to do, but so that we can be made into the beautiful person that you have called us to be, who put their feet into action as beautiful people, who are good news and who share your good news, not just praying the prayer to check it off our boxes, God, but to partner with it, to propel us forward, to interact with others on a day-to-day basis. Holy Spirit, work in us and through us. And give us boldness today. Give us opportunities to share your love. And beautiful people who are led by Jesus, shaped by grace and moved by love, Father, making a difference in the lives of the least, the last, and the lost. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Friends, if you're here and maybe you feel alone and far from God and stuck in cycles of broken habits without purpose, and you would like to experience a new hope for your future and in healing from your yesterdays, to say yes to the grace of Jesus, to step into relationship with your Heavenly Father, to turn from living your life for yourself and to turn towards Him. If that's you and you're saying, yes, I want a relationship with Jesus. I want to be made new. Jesus, today I give you my life. Would you be so brave as just to even, doesn't matter if you're by yourself or in your car, just lift your hands to Jesus and say, Jesus, that's me. I want to receive this free gift of love and trust you, Jesus, as my forgiver and my leader. That's me, Jesus. I want to be adopted into the family of God. Or maybe you've walked away from faith in the past or currently experiencing a time in your life where you just don't feel close and near to God and you like to be restored back into a close and living relationship, thriving relationship with Jesus. You desire to be part of a beautiful people who are living their lives according to the values of God's kingdom and not the values of our culture, and you want God's help to do that. Would you be so brave as even where you are to lift your hands and say, that's me, Jesus. I need a fresh start today. I need a renewal of my mind and my heart. Draw me closer back to you, Jesus. I want to be close to you again, Jesus. I want to make a difference with you, Jesus, if that's you. I just want to pray with you. Thank you. Can you pray with me like this, Jesus? Thank you so much for the hearts and hands that were lifted around online today, God, that have been lifted around today. Thank you for dying on the cross and making a way for us to be in relationship with you. Thank you for absorbing my sin and my shame, healing my hurt and my brokenness, my pain. I choose to receive this extravagant gift of life and ask you to come into my heart, to be the Lord and leader of my entire life. I give you all of me and ask you to lead my life for your glory, not just for myself, Jesus. I fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me live the life that you actually died to give me. Show me how to activate your word, your scriptures in my life, and reveal to me where I can walk in the freedom that you've designed me to walk in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Wow, friends, if you just prayed that prayer with me today for the first time and you would like to declare Jesus as your forgiver and leader or recommit your life to following Jesus, would you let us know? We would love to walk that out with you and partner with you in that decision today. Oh, it's so good. Let somebody know too. We'd love to connect with you and walk this out with you as you continue to explore what it means to walk with Jesus. If you'd like to take your next step to publicly declare your decision that you just made to follow Jesus by being baptized into Jesus, as Jesus commanded, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Let us know, friends. We would love to walk that out with you. Here's how you can live this out loud at Beloved as an integral part of our spiritual family. Would you take a step today to partner with us at Beloved City Church in growing the day-to-day ministries here in Nanaimo and beyond? You can join our Big Table family. Make it official. Sign up for the next family discovery night. Discover what it means to be a family member here at this local church. Next, join the Grow Team. Work alongside a team here at Beloved and help us grow a life-giving church in this city and online. Let's make an impact together as we continue to practice living, giving, serving, and loving like Jesus. And last but not least, friends, Will you respond today to the word of God today as an act of worship to God with your money, with your finance, by giving financially at Beloved City Church? Your financial partnerships, your generosity is beautiful people of the kingdom of heaven here and now participating in helping us grow a dynamic Jesus-centered church in this city. Thank you, Jesus. See you in your city groups this week. We love you. We are praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in a special way. Amen.